Amen. Excited to be here this morning. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Romans, we'll get there like in three pages of notes. So don't, you know, if you're like not all about that, that's okay. But we're going to be going to Romans chapter 12. Two things y'all need to stay after for the pork sliders. They're amazing. And they help our kids get to Influence Conference. The conference is like $100 and that doesn't cover the whole cost. So we're having to absorb some of that cost for our chaperones and our transportation. And it just actually costs more, which is so crazy, but it's so good. So if you have a 12 to 18 year old, I'm going to plug that in one more time. Make your teens go with us, and the Lord will change their heart. And then just pray and fast, and then the Lord will change their heart. Amen. I remember being a teenager and needing desperately that time to just be away with Jesus. It is incredible. It's like a 24-hour super packed time with the Holy Spirit. So if you want to help sponsor one, just talk to me after service, and then make sure you join us for the park as well. We're starting a new series called An Attitude of Gratitude. Turn to your neighbor and say, An Attitude of Gratitude. We like it a lot because it rhymes. I'm a rhyming kind of person, because as my age, hallelujah and amen, your memory fades. And all the people like close to 50 and up are saying amen. I just turned 47. Did I turn 47? And so I just claim that I'm 50 now. So like I just walk around the house and I say, I'm sorry that you have a mom that's 50 years old. And I have grays that I am hiding everywhere. And so I just apologize to my seventh grader when we go to, this is like so off topic, but as we go to like different things for her, like all the moms are in their 30s and they look really cool. And I'm like, you got a grandma. Hallelujah. But I love Jesus, and I pray the Lord will keep us healthy. Amen. An attitude of gratitude, number one. We're going to start with today's sermon, Stop Your Stinking Thinking. Stop your stinking thinking. It's going to be good. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be good. You know, even if it's not, tell them it's going to be good. The Bible is about our thoughts, and an attitude of gratitude starts what we think. And when I was young, I don't know all the, I don't know if the young people, these, y'all know what, what is it? It's a Mr. Potato Head. I when I was young, we didn't have like electronics and things, and my mom also didn't let us. So here I am with a Mr. Potato Head. I love Mr. Potato Head. He was fun. And they had like Mrs. Potato Head, and they had like little kids. I couldn't afford it, so I just bought him today because, you know, inflation. And so, so I just got Mr. Potato Head. And I love like his accented like eyes, you know, and then you could like flip around the nose, the mouth, the ears. We're going to be talking about it all this month. So I'm sure you're going to see Mr. Potato Head. But you know what is the most thing that we don't really know is what's right underneath this cap. And that is your thoughts. It's your brain, right? And so we're going to be talking today about my thoughts, your thoughts. You can be thinking anything that you want right now, but I pray by the end of this message, as we hear the word of God, that we will start looking at our thoughts and align them with Christ. Somebody say, with Christ. If you are a believer in the room, and I think most of us are, that we have been dedicated to Christ, and the way to be transformed is the way that we think. And so if you're looking at your thoughts for the day, you are the strongest. What are your strongest ones? What do you think about the most? Just take a moment, sort of evaluate your thoughts. I think about the Pelicans like a lot. I really like them. I saw someone today and I told him 20 things that I think about the Pelicans. You know, like I like food. I think about food a lot. Like, what are we eating after service? You're buying pork sliders and brisket sliders and potato chips, right? You're going to stay with us and party at the park. I think about my kids a lot, my family a lot. I think about you guys. We pray for you on Tuesdays. We fast for you guys on Monday. What are your thoughts? Like, take an assessment of you. Not me, but what are your thoughts this morning? And what are your proclivities? That simply means, what is the thing that you're thinking on? Joyce Myers writes from a book called Battlefield of the Mind. And if you struggle with your thoughts, I highly recommend this book. It's called Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Myers. In my opinion, it's one of her best. She says, your life will not get straightened out until your mind does. Let me read that again. Your life will not get straightened out until your mind. Everybody say mind. until your mind does. Now, you didn't come to take a science class, but let me just go into science 101 just for a second before we get into the Word of God. I think that science proves the glory of God. I am not against science. I think science has helped us in so many areas of our lives. And there is a science behind the way that we think. And so whenever you're looking at this image, this is your brain, in case you didn't know what that was. And so that's your brain. And so, and remember those old, I need to stop wondering. And so anyway, it says this: neurons and neurotransmitters, these are thoughts that are formed in the forming of your brain. In the forming of your thoughts, there are these neurons that sort of like a electricity almost that happens. So we have like thousands of thoughts per second, right? And all these thoughts include some way that we think or something that has happened to us, but that is done through neurons and neurotransmitters. Now, in your brain regions, you might have heard of this. There's like a right side to your brain and there's a left side of your brain. So some of you are like super artsy. How many of you are like super artsy? Like you, that's the way you think? None of us? Okay, so hopefully some of you, you think that way. There's a right side of your brain. Is that like super pragmatic, straight lines? And you think like, I can only do this and that. Where there are ways that our brain is programmed to think. And in and of itself, it's not bad. It's different gifts, different glory that God has given in our brain region. So they have different thoughts, like functions, like when you want to move your arm, or if you want to look at something visually, that requires a different kind of thought, or your language, or your comprehension. Some of us are great at memorizing things, and others of us can't memorize to save our lives, right? I don't know which one you are, but it's a lot on the way that we process life, and our life is processed through our thoughts. Now, also in this brain of ours that God has created that is absolutely magnificent, he has also affected, our brain is affected by outside stimuli. That's science for the things that have happened to us. So maybe something that's happened at your workplace this week has affected the way that you think. Or maybe there's something that has happened in your family and it affects the way that you think. And so there's like this external part to our brain. Maybe you have a stored memory. I remember a young person one time, I love young people, and he told me, he said, "Miss Tara, I'm stupid." He was about 17 years old. I said, "Why do you think that you're stupid?" He said, "Because when I was in fourth grade, my teacher told me that I was stupid and I would never amount to anything." That was a stinking thinking thought that was affected by a teacher that spoke a negative word into that young man's life. And for years, his brain starts to function with all these neurons and all these neurotransmitters. And even though God has given him a brain, that thought process begins to take over his life. So everything he does, here's what he says first: "I'm stupid." Why? Because of something that happened to him when he was in fourth grade. Now, we're the same. I mean, we all have things that have happened to us, especially in our formative years. I know Jeremy always said, I think they're 3 to 9 years old. What has happened to you affects you. You ever saw one of those progressive insurance, like when you become just like your parents? Because we become sort of how we were raised and the thought processes that we have. Like Ted and I think so very differently. And about 2 years into our marriage, I was saying something crazy because I tend to be a little bit more crazy. And so I was saying something out of my thought processing and he just stopped me and said, "That's your family, this is my family, and it's okay." And my thoughts were like, wow, I never even thought in that kind of way. And what happens is as these neurons start firing off, and we have a left side of our brain, a left side of our brain, and then we have all this outside stimuli that has happened to us, and the way that we think and process, it forms neural pathways. Everybody say neural pathways. Now, neural pathways are interesting. It's sort of like forming a ditch. Like, you know what I'm talking about? You form a ditch so that the water will run through the ditch, right? To get to a drain. I don't know. I'm not really, I don't really know like that kind of stuff. And so, but I know that eventually that ditch gets wider and wider. That's the easiest way for the water to go because you have dug a ditch. The same is true in our brains. We have neural pathways that are formed in our lives because of the way that we thought when we were 4 years old, of something that happened to us when we were seven. Or maybe there's something that's going on that's super traumatic or sort of taking over your thoughts even right now. And so what happens is, rather than thinking like Christ, let me add Jesus to the science, rather than thinking on what he wants us to think about, our brain takes the easiest way. For women, a lot of times, that's, I don't look good. Or we start shaming ourselves, right? We're never enough. We never can amount to anything. And it's the easiest way for our brains to think is that I am not good enough for the culture. I struggle with this, so I'm just being honest. And so what happens is that becomes an easy way for my brain to think because I've thought about it every single time that I look in the mirror. Can I get an amen from the ladies especially? And so what happens is that our thoughts begin to line up with the world instead of lining up with Christ, and that neural pathway in the science realm takes over. So this morning, fundamentally, we have perceived with our senses, we have felt with our emotions. You have maybe even thought according to an action plan, but the Bible says this: what we think affects our heart. Somebody say heart. So my brain and my thoughts affect the heart of the matter. If you don't believe me, let's look at this scripture. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Right before the flood. If you've never been to Noah's Ark in Kentucky, you should go. Not shameless plug. But first of all, get Battlefield of the Mind. Number two, go to this Noah's Ark. It's incredible. But in Genesis, it says this in 6 and 5. Before the flood, it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. So clearly, there was a wickedness. In the flood scenes in Noah's Ark, they show like them sacrificing their babies to idols and horrific sex scenes. And all these different things that were happening as the Lord said this. But it says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts. Somebody say thoughts. That's interesting because you would think God would say, okay, well, they were sacrificing their children to idols. Or they were doing things that were sexually immoral. But God calls out the very thing that is wrong, and that is that every intention of the thoughts of his heart. You see the connection? So there's thoughts that are connected to your heart. And look what God says about these people. They were only evil continually. Every time I read that, I stop in my track and think, I have evil thoughts. I do. I'm not perfect by any means. But to have only evil thoughts of your heart, and they're evil continually. So our heart is connected to our thoughts. What we think in our hearts, in turn, affects our actions. Look at Matthew, New Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 15 in verse 19, it says, for out of the heart, everybody say heart, comes evil thoughts. Everybody say thoughts. So again, out of the heart, our thoughts think towards murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false teaching, and slander. So humans, out of their hearts, think deeds. Our actions and our lives resemble what you think. You ever heard that? You are what you think. So to take responsibility for our thoughts, we must renew our mind. Now, before we get into Romans 12, I promise you we're getting there. I want you to look at a couple more scriptures because the Bible is full of the way that we think. And the Bible is also full that we are to change our stinking thinking. So look at the first verse we're going to throw up on the screen. That is Colossians 3, 1 and 2. It says this, if you then have been raised with Christ, that means if you're saved, seek things that are above. Everybody say above. where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, everybody say minds. Set your mind on things that are above, not or that are things that are on the earth. So as a believer, if you are a Christian and you are walking with Jesus this morning, you are to set your mind on things above. You don't have to accept every thought that comes into your mind. You don't. You don't have to live, oh, well, I'm just going to think about this because I can't help what I think about. No. The believer this morning is to set their mind. I almost think of myself taking my mind out of my skull and setting it on the things above. That's almost where I have to be at in my life. So when a thought comes in that doesn't honor Christ, or a thought comes in that brings Christ low, what I have to do is begin to set my mind on things that are above. Let's look at another scripture in Romans 8 and verse 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds. Everybody say minds. On the things of the flesh. So if you're struggling this morning with adultery or things of this world, sexual immorality, the things that we just read in the book of Matthew, it says again to set your mind on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds, everybody say minds, on the thing of the Spirit. For to set the mind on flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's laws. So when we're thinking with our flesh, when we think that without a mind of Christ, we are hostile to God. It means that we are against God, and it says those that are in the flesh cannot please God. One more scripture in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, be careful about what you think because your thoughts run your life. So let's look at Romans chapter 8. Are you there? Shout, go Pelicans. See, my thought is still there. And so Romans chapter 8, it says this, and I want you to understand Romans chapter 12. I said chapter 8. Romans chapter 12, we're going to be looking at verse 2. This battle has been around since the beginning of time. It doesn't just pop up. It's been a human problem that our minds will go all over the place. Paul talks about it. So men, this is also a struggle. Sometimes I know they'll be like, oh, well, just women, and their thoughts go all over the place. But I think all of our thoughts can be in the flesh or they can be in the spirit. And this morning we want to set our minds on the things of God. And we're going to look at what Paul says to the church at Rome. Now get this, Rome was a church in Rome. It means this, they were struggling with the very things that we struggle with. And they were losing the war on their mind. They were not winning this battle. They were going all over the place because they lived in Rome. So Rome was sort of like a place of against culture, against God. So Romans chapter 12, Paul says this in verse 1. He says, therefore, and you have to read all of the rest of the book to get what the therefore is there, but we won't this morning. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy. So because God loves us and he's merciful and we don't get what we deserve, that's what Paul is saying. He says, I am urging you this morning to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. I loved last week, one of the brothers that got baptized, he said, I just want to please Jesus. I'm getting baptized to please Jesus. I'd never heard that before, and I was so caught up by that. I've been thinking about it all week. I just want to please Jesus. Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul is saying you need to please Jesus. You need to have a life because of God's mercy. You want to be holy and pleasing to God, and you're like, how do I do it? How do I please God? How do I become holy? Because everything around me is not holy. You go to work, it's not holy. You go to school, it's not holy. You go to your family and they're, I don't know, maybe they're holy, maybe they're not. And your mind gets caught up in these moments of unholiness that are against God. And this is what Paul says as he's urging them. Keep on reading in verse 2. It says, this is your true and proper worship, conformed to the pattern of this world. So it's obvious that our conformity typically is towards the pattern of the world. We have this idea that we need to lean in towards the patterns of the world. This is what the world thinks. This is what the world does. This is how they live. This is what's happening. We put on our TV. It's the same thing. We scroll through social media. It's the same thing. And Paul says, no, I urge you this morning. I am urging you as a pastor to say, no, that's not how I have to think. I can get rid of my stinking thinking. How do I do it? Don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed. Everybody say transform. God is looking for transformation. I am not who I was when I was in ninth grade at South Terrebonne High School and turned my life over to Jesus. It took a while. It took a while for my thoughts. It took a while for my language. It took a while for my action. But I am being transformed. Everybody say transformed. And how do you be transformed? Because we want to conform to what everybody else is doing, but God says, no, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Can you say that? By the renewing of my mind. How in the world do we walk in transformation? How do I stand out in a culture that is trying to get me to conform to what they're saying, conform to what they're doing? You've got to think like me. You've got to talk like me. You've got to do what I do. And the Bible says clearly the answer is no. How do you do it? You have to transform by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say mind. Now, this was huge. For this culture in this day, in the book of Romans, this would have challenged them because they were living underneath Roman culture and they were thinking of, this is how I live life. And Paul says, no, 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 you can't be conformed, but you have to be transformed. Now he says, offer your bodies, and that would have been difficult. In Roman culture, your body was not a part of your spiritual side. But I believe, and I think Paul says, be conformed. All of it is the Lord's. Your body is the Lord's. Your heart is the Lord. Your soul is the Lord. Your mind is the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. All of it is the Lord, and the way that you conform it to Jesus or be transformed is by renewing of your mind. Have you heard of that? See, what we understand this morning is we know what the world speaks, all the material, the bad, spiritual, good. But Paul says, no, offer your body as a living sacrifice. This is your worship. So Monday morning, whenever you are thinking about a thought that doesn't please the Lord, that is not conformed to the image of Christ, Bible says you can take every thought captive and hold it accountable to Jesus Christ. How do you do that? There's all kinds of ways to do that. For me, I like turning on worship music. So every morning, and my husband as well, we're just really strict about this in our lives. No, you have no idea what's going to hit you tomorrow. I've lived in a crazy 3 or 4 weeks. In the past 3 or 4 weeks, I can't even believe I'm standing here, to be honest. And so, and declaring faithfully the word of the Lord. I have had some things hit us in our family and our lives, just being honest and truthful. But here's what we do. We are dedicated to renewing our mind, and my mind gets renewed every morning. I'll see my husband. You wake up at 5 in the morning, and he will sit at the table with his Bible open, reading through the Bible plan. What is he doing? Renewing his mind. We've gone through some things. How do you stay in this transformation, looking more and more like Jesus? I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm looking to the one who is perfecting me and who is transforming me by the renewing of my mind. So the word of God has to be evident in your life. You have to do it. I'm just saying that as a pastor who loves your soul. I can see people walk away from the Lord, and a lot of times I say, but did you have a consistent time with the Lord? Well, I never did that. Didn't think it was important. I only came to church on Sunday. No, this happens. Our worship happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Our renewing of our mind says, okay, that music that I listen to doesn't honor Christ. Jackie Hill Perry, I love her. And she was speaking the other day, and she had some music that did not honor Christ. She said, but I grew up with that music, and that music touched my soul. But that woman has now not really had good music in her life that she was listening to. And she said, the Holy Spirit. I said, Holy Spirit, I want to surrender to you. What do you want out of my life? And he says, your music. You can't have a renewed mind if you're listening to garbage music. You can't. I remember the Lord convicting me. I was in college, and I still listened to music that did not conform my mind to Christ. And we were at a big retreat. We went to the retreat. God moved. It was good. God was moving. I go into the fellowship hall, and they're playing I've Got Friends in Low Places, where the whiskey drowns in the, well, how's that song go? And so I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I can't believe they're singing this song. Like, God, what's wrong with them? And God says, what's wrong with you? Because you listened to it on Monday. And the whole Holy Spirit fell on me, and he said, you need to change your music because it's affecting your thinking. Guys, if you listen to rap, there's good Christian rap out there, I'm just saying, that's full of the Word of God. There's a moment in our lives where we say, I want to be transformed into his image, so my music needs to look like Jesus. And there's all kinds of genres for you to look like Jesus. You can. You get into the Word of God. You start asking the Lord, I want to transform my mind. And you read the Word of God. You listen to the Word of God. You memorize. If you struggle with something, for years I struggled with anger here. And when I was like, I don't know what happened. I got kids and like, now I'm angry. And so I started memorizing anger scriptures. Not really cool. Like, I'm not like, it's not super spiritual, but I would start saying unto myself, don't let the sun go down when you're angry. In your anger, sin not. I started, what was I doing? Renewing my mind. Because my proclivity is to have my flesh take over. But God says, no, conform your thoughts and transform them into what Jesus says. God made your bodies, he made your mind, he made your heart, and he made your soul. He made all of it, and he wants to direct it towards him. He wants to change your stinking thinking this morning. And the way that he does that is at the renewal of your mind. Psalm 19 and verse 14 says this, let the words of my mouth and the meditations in my sight be acceptable. Somebody say acceptable. In thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Maybe you need to memorize that this morning. The Word of God will renew your mind. It will conform you into his image. It will transform you. The Bible says in Isaiah that his thoughts are higher than ours. I want Jesus' thoughts. I want my mind at 11 o'clock on a Monday morning to start praying for somebody that God drops into my spirit. I want Tuesday at 3:30 and I'm stuck in traffic and I'm behind a slow person. I want my thoughts to be like, God, thank you that you've given me patience. I want my mind to be renewed in the image of Christ, so I'm setting my mind on things above. And if I need to change the music, I'm going to change the music. If I need to read the Word of God in the morning and at night, because sometimes I just need to do that, I'm going to read the Word of God in the morning and night. I'm going to be consistent in my prayers. And I'm going to say to the Lord, God, change me. God, transform me. That's what he does. That's what he's so good at. That's what he wants to do in your life. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That would be our heart this morning. God, change me, my strength. God, you're my redeemer. I know my thoughts are terrible. This morning, I want to close with Philippians chapter 4. Ted, if you'll come up on the stage. Sort of had this illustration. I guess we could play some music, ladies in the back. But this is a colander. See, I'm back at food. My two thoughts, pelicans and food and Jesus. and Jesus first. And so Philippians 4. Would you turn there this morning? I don't know if we have it on the screen, but if you want to read the Word of God with me this morning, this is a good object lesson to do in our lives. Philippians 4, one of my favorite books of the Bible, Philippians 4, Paul writes, and he's reading well. And so that's good because a lot of the books he's like, yeah, you're not doing so well. But in Philippians 4, he's like, keep on, brothers. So in Philippians 4 in verse 4, one of the first scriptures that I memorized, my mom made me memorize this scripture. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. That's easy. Philippians 4:4. I knew that since I was like, yay high. I would just walk with Jesus. And it says this, keep on reading. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. And Paul closes the letter with this next part. I want you to read it with me. You can pull it down just a little bit. It says this. It says, finally, brothers. And he sort of has like, I do a lot of cooking. And when I cook, like if I cook pasta or something like that, what I will do, and most of us know this, right? We'll take the pasta, we'll put it in a big bowl, we'll boil it with some water, some salt, some oil. I do oil, I don't know. And at the end of that, what I do is I simply go over and I put that whole pot into the colander so that the water drains and the salt drains and the oil drains, but that pasta is right there. Does that make sense? That's what a colander does. In my mind, this makes a whole lot of sense. Hopefully, it will for you. Paul says this, finally, brothers, how do you change your stinking thinking? Read the word, change your music, take off things on TV or on your social media that's not good for you. I literally do not do Facebook. I only do media for our church and everything. I will not do it personally because my thoughts, it was always bad. I was comparing my life to somebody else. Look, they go on this cool vacation. We never on vacation. I'm here on the East. It was bad. So I just said, Lord, in 2000, what year are we in, 24? I said, God, I quit doing media. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing Facebook. Why? Let's read it together. It says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable. I forgot to do the first one, so here it is. Is that thought honorable? And what I do is I will take that thought and I will just put it in the spiritual colander, if you would. And what I will do is I'll say, okay, if that thought is not honorable, then that needs to drain out of my life and I need to keep what is honorable. Does that make sense this morning? Keep on reading. It says, whatever is just. So I look at that thought and I compare it to the justice of Jesus Christ. And I may be mad. I may be bitter. I may be angry. And I look at that thought and I say, but that's not like the justice of Jesus that he gave me. And so what I do is I take that thought, and if it's not godly and it's not just, I let that drain out and I keep what is just. Paul says, whatever is pure. Guys, our thoughts need to be pure. If you're an addiction of impure things, you need to confess that and say, okay, Lord, I am struggling. And sometimes we need to confess that to other people because it's not a pure thought. And you take that thought and you say, God, is that a pure thought? Is that what I'm looking, is it pure? And you let the garbage drain out and you keep what is pure. Paul says, whatever is lovely. Is that a lovely thought about my kids? Is that a lovely thought about the situation that I'm in? And Paul would say this, and Jesus says this thing, if it's lovely, keep it. If it's not lovely, let it drain out. He says, whatever is commendable, whatever is of excellence, our thoughts should be of excellence. It should be encouraging to other people. We shouldn't always be bringing people down. We don't always have to be the negative person in the room. We could see a glass as half full instead of half empty, if you know what I'm saying. If there's anything of excellence, God says, keep the excellence and let every thought drain out. If there's anything worthy of praise, that means that everything is not praise. I'm letting it drain out and I'm letting the thought of praise. God, I thank you. And you might need to come up in your head and start changing those thoughts because you've been such a complainer. You've been complaining all your life and everything is in your drain. And the Lord says, no, take your thoughts captive. If there's anything honorable, if there's anything just, if there's anything pure or lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence or anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Everybody say these things. And Paul is so committed. He says this at the end. I love, Paul will just be like, follow me. He says, whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, he is confident. He says, practice these things and the peace of God will be with you. Will you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? We'll pull down those lights. when you begin to examine your thoughts this morning, do they line up with Jesus the Christ? You know, you can become more like him. You can have the mind of Christ. You can surrender your thoughts this morning. And you might be on the in the struggle realm of this. And I'm just going to be honest, I come in and out of struggle with these with the thoughts that I think. But there are some real steps. If you're struggling this morning with your thoughts and you have stinking thinking in some area of your life, you can have those thoughts. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. And there's going to be some steps. I wish I could just pray for you and like lay my hands on you, right? And everything's good. We're going to walk out in freedom. No, there's some steps you have to take. You have to set your mind on Christ. So for some of you, you need to walk out the room and say, I'm changing my music. That's it. Not because Pastor Tara said to, but because the Holy Spirit is convicting you this morning. Some of you need to change what you're looking at. Oh, but I don't participate in all those things. But it gets on the inside of us, and our thoughts are connected to our heart. And I can't look at garbage, y'all. My mind's so tempted when I look at it. So I just keep it out. For others of you, you need to get into a solid word. You know, in the bulletins this morning, we have what we're reading in the Bible tomorrow. Just step out and read it. If you don't like reading, just get a church Bible app and just listen to it. And you say, but I don't understand it. But I'm going to tell you this. You can understand one thing and you think about that one thing all day. And when some other thought comes out that's not just, not pure, not lovely, not commendable, you start thinking on that one part of the Bible that you read that morning. You say, I'm going to stand on that. I don't even know, but I'm standing on that. That's a step to have your mind transformed like Christ. If you're struggling this morning with your thoughts, could you just stand on your feet? Everybody else, just keep your head bowed and eyes closed. I want to pray that you would start this process. If you've been struggling with thoughts that are not pure, not honorable, not just, not lovely, not commendable, they're not excellent in some way, in some pattern, would you just stand and say, Lord, I'm going to need your help. Anybody else in the room, just stand. Nobody look around, please. It's just a time between us and the Lord. Anybody else in the room? I'm struggling with my thoughts. Perhaps this morning there's even suicidal thoughts. I know I speak to a lot of young people and I always will talk about that, but I think that's even true with old people, us people. That's not a thought of the Lord. He speaks life this morning and not death. And if you're struggling with that, just come and talk to us and say, can you pray with me? Maybe there's a thought that came from way back then of somebody that told you you weren't enough or you were going to be just like so-and-so. And you live that out day after day after day. And today the Lord would say, if you would transform your renewing, of your, you would start renewing your mind, that thought would be gone because it wasn't of me anyhow. Anybody else in the room, would you just lift your hands if you're standing this morning? We're going to pray out loud. I just think there's a power of us praying together out loud that the enemy hears. That we're going to take every thought captive and the enemy's going to hear that and then we're going to practice that day in and day out. So with your hands raised this morning, say, Dear Jesus, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, my Redeemer, help me to think on what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is commendable, whatever is excellent. Help me to praise you and think about those things. Today, I commit to be conformed into your image. And I'm setting my mind on things above, Help me, Holy Spirit. I just want to pray over you, Lord. I pray for these and myself included. God, I pray this morning that we would walk out of this building with a way to get rid of our stinking thinking. God, I know this is going to be hard because we're sort of like scientifically, we're changing these neural pathways that have been developed over years of our lives. But God, I know the power of the Holy Spirit and that we can walk in confidence in Christ. So this morning, God, we say, let the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable to you, God, our rock and our redeemer. God, we cry out to you to help us stop our thinking. God, that we will walk out of this room in holiness and in purity. God, that we will begin to take action steps. Give us that strength, Holy Spirit, to give action steps to our prayers. So that when we walk out this room and that thought bombards us, that the enemy has spoken to us or that we've let in, Lord, I pray that we would walk in the confidence of the Scriptures and that we would begin to transform our thinking so that we'll be more like you. And God, in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, we'll say, look at what the Lord has done in my life. God, start with our minds, renew them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Would you give the Lord some praise?